one of the things that begins to happen in this realm is that the enemy begins to bring not only manipulation and deception, but he begins to bring the area to where he's trying to cause you to forget who you are. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? In other words, because you live in this realm, most people don't even know who they are. You know, I'm telling you, for the last 30 hours or 40 hours, whatever, it's just been burning in me saying, and what's been going on is the Lord just saying, my people don't know who they are. Or they only know who they are for a short period of time and they lose it. It's taken from them. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's taken from them, and they lose sight of who they are. And they become recloned again under the offspring of darkness when they lose that who they are as offspring of light. See, the Bible says, who is in us is greater than he who's in the world. But, you know, many believers begin to lose focus of that. Because they're out in the world and they lose sight of who they are. You know, see, the world will drain you. Because you're the shining light that's out there now and the world drains you. And then all of a sudden you begin to act carnally. You begin to respond or react in the areas that's according to the worldly understanding. And what happens is you begin to lose the image of Christ in you because you begin to lose the sight of who you are. Because the enemy draws it away. Draws it away. Did you ever notice that some days you're strong? Yeah! Praise God, I'm on fire, this, that, and whatever. And then the next day, whoa. You're like a wet noodle. It's because the enemy's come and drawn from you and you agreed with him. See, if you can come in agreement with him, he draws, he empties you. And the next thing you know, you're responding according to the old man instead of the new man. Is everybody okay? And you're losing the image of Christ. Now, in other words, we're not fighting for the life of Christ anymore in us. We're fighting for our life. When we should be fighting for the life of Christ and not fighting for our life. Our life needs to be crucified. And let me share something that's important right now. And I'm telling you, as I was hearing this, I kept hearing it's because many times they forsake fellowship. And the Bible says, forsake not to assemble. You know, there's some times that, you know, the enemy comes in and compromises certain things. You know, he'll, you know, somebody will sneeze or whatever, and the devil will tell him, man, you're sick, you need to stay home. Now, don't get me wrong, all right? I'm using this as an example. Or you know, you need to get up for work tomorrow morning or whatever. Now I'm just using these as an example. But see, the thing is when we agree with him, the enemy, what happens is we just make exchange. Because the Bible tells us, I'm telling you what, there's been times I've had little sleep and the Lord has refreshed me. And in this, if we're obedient to God, he always will take care of you. Do you understand that? And one of the most important things right now is for us to maintain in fellowship because things are getting harder out there. And what happens is the wolf comes to steal the sheep. He removes the individual from the flock. And what he begins to do is he begins to reclone them again, begins to steal who they are. And they begin to now focus in the area of worldliness. And they lose the area of the spirit and who they really are. See, it is important that we maintain the image and likeness of Christ. And I want to share with you about the image of Christ, and that's what you see. You must no longer see yourself as a humanite. Do you understand? You see yourself as an offspring of Christ, an eternal being, knowing that you have dominion over all things here. No matter what the circumstance, you have dominion over all things. See, but the more you stay out into the world, the more the world draws from you. That's why it's so important to be in fellowship. You know, I had a call today from a woman. It was after hours, and I heard the ministry phone ringing, so I walked in, and I picked it up. And it was this woman. She was, I don't know, I guess she was 70-something years old or whatever. And she'd been living alone, and she said she's just been struggling with oppression and this and that and whatever. And she started to tell me about how her husband years ago tried to kill her and all kinds of things. And I said, well, you know, and she goes, and these thoughts come, and when people get around her, they start cussing. I said, those are just demons tormenting you. I said, well, where are you fellowshipping? She goes, there's nowhere to fellowship where the Spirit flows. I said, well, man, get some music on, and you start worshiping the Lord. She goes, oh. I said, yeah. I said, you know, I sure that you must maintain a level of the anointing to overcome. Because she said to me something pretty important. She says, well, I'm anointed. I said, amen. But you must have a level of that anointing, and it comes by worshiping your King so that you can overcome. You know, the devil has an anointing also, but you must overcome his anointing by increasing the anointing in your life. Is everybody with me? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Go to Psalm 40. Psalm 40, first five verses. Would you read it with me? Or maybe more. We'll see. Oh, yeah. Cool. I like this one. Let's read it together. I waited what? Patiently for the Lord. In other words, you endured. You are pressing in. You are enduring. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he what? He inclined me. He heard me. And he heard my what? Cry. And he also brought me what? Out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Let me share this with you. A new song comes in your mouth to bring you closer. Did you ever notice that you begin to hear a song, right? And it's a new song. And as you start becoming part of that song, it brings you closer into him. And so then what he does is he brings another one. And as you become part of that song, you become closer to him. Why? Because he's trying to keep you in his image and likeness. That's why when people are out of fellowship, out of the worship, the anointing, look, you can go to church, but if there ain't worship, what's the sense? Because we need to have the anointing of God. This isn't about religion. See, because people are trying to fight intellectually with the devil. And he'll kick your butt every time. I don't care how much scripture you can quote and how many pages you know. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And without the anointing, come forth with the word, quickened by the Spirit, ain't nothing happening. Does everybody get it? So we can't fight the devil intellectually. We fight him with the anointing. Has everybody got it? That's why it's called, the word is called the sword of the what? Spirit. The Spirit means anointed, right? That's why it's important we stay filled with the Spirit of God. So God begins to do something. As you're pressing in and pressing in and enduring, he'll bring forth another song. You'll become a part of that song, and you'll get closer. And you'll get closer. See, he's going to always maintain a level of closeness with you if you'll be obedient, if you'll press in, if you'll endure. It says, he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will what? See it in fear. What are they going to see? The anointing on your life. And they're going to not, it's not that they're going to fear you. They're going to reverence God. They're not even going to know what's what. You'll walk into that room and people who are cussing will shut up. People who are telling dirty jokes will be convicted. I remember when we were having the bike built, and I went in there to go see this painter guy to paint the motorcycle. And he said, listen, man, don't look at anything on the walls, okay? It says, many will see it in fear or reverence and will what? Trust in the Lord. Let's go on. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be what? Number, look at this. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In a scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Now, he's talking about you. Why? Because every one of us has been brought into this world. Every human being's name is written in the book. It's not removed until you die. And if you're right with God, it stays. If you're not right with God, it's removed. Does everybody understand? That's why children, when they die, they go home. Because there's an age of accountability. Because their name is written in the book. No one can go home without their name written in the book. So their name is already written in the book. In fact, your name was written in the book before the foundations of the world was created in all the universe. Hello? So in this we see that we have been predestined to fulfill a purpose that God has set for us. Now, we have to cooperate with God to fulfill that purpose, don't we? So he makes a way for us. He said, first of all, he said, listen, you endure, I'll hear your cry, I'll give you a new song, I'll pour out more of my spirit upon you. People will see my presence on you and reverence me. Well, why is this happening? Because your name's written in the book. You are predestined already. You are from the future. Is everybody okay? Blessed is the man who what? Trusts in him. So let me ask you this. We've been talking about enemies of God, right? Now, can God, if you can't trust God, do you become his enemy? Yes. Anybody that does not trust the Lord is his enemy. I mean, bottom line. Now, again, we are fighting for the life of Christ, which is his character and image, right? Again, the devil moves us, tries to draw us away so that he can reestablish the old character and we lose sight of who we truly are. Now, the old image cannot trust God, can it? But the new character in you trusts God. So that fight of maintaining the presence of God or the character of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, staying filled with the Spirit, because you're fighting to maintain that so that in every area of your life, you can trust him. Is everybody okay? Good. Go to Proverbs 3. Why? Because if you can't trust him, he can't trust you, and he looks to you as his enemy. It doesn't mean he doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that you're forsaken. It means he can't trust you. You can love somebody and still not trust them. That's not an easy way to be, but you can. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Well, hello. So if you can't trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and you're constantly leaning on your understanding, is God going to trust you? No, then you become his enemy. Hello? If you're not faithful, can he trust you? No. If you're not consistent, can he trust you? If you say you're going to do things and don't do them, can he trust you? Hallelujah. So that makes us his enemy. It doesn't mean he doesn't love us. He can't trust us. Do you understand? So then what happens is individuals, when they're not getting, they look other places. But they haven't trust God yet in every area. Then they begin to look in another place and they look for fulfillment. And they don't even realize they're doing it. Let's go a little further. In all of your ways, what? Acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with what? New wine. Now look at this. My child, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he what? Corrects. Just as a father, the son in whom he delights. Now, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Okay, so we need to know that one of the first things we need to do is stop leaning on our own understanding. Why? Because we do not want to become an enemy of God. We've got to stop leaning on our own understanding, our carnal reasoning. Sometimes things are just not going to make sense, but that's why you got to get in the Spirit and get the correction and direction. Or get in the multitude of counsel, because that's where there's safety and wisdom, isn't there? So we've got to lean not on our understanding, and we've got to acknowledge him in every area. That would be the second thing we need to do. The third thing we want to do here is walk by faith and not by sight. The fourth thing we need to do is reverence or honor and respect his word, his correction. Reverence and honor his word, correction, and judgment. In other words, what he says goes. Is everybody with me? Want me to repeat this? Man, you don't take shorthand. Number one, lean not on your own understanding. Number two, acknowledge him in all of your ways. Number three, walk by faith and not by sight. Number four, reverence or honor and respect his word, correction, and judgment. Number five, honor, acknowledge him. You're going to honor and acknowledge him with all of your increase, your possessions, and revelations. Honor and acknowledge him with all increase, possessions, and revelations. What are we trying to do? Prevent us from becoming an enemy of God. Number six, we must maintain an understanding that there will be no lack. See, because one of the things the devil loves to do is bring fear to you that you're going to lack something, that God isn't going to provide. And that will move you right into the carnal understanding. It will move you right out of the image of Christ and into the image of the old man, because the old man always fears that there's not enough. And number seven, we must also understand that there is a new abundance of his presence, love, and power. That's all he's asking us to do, is totally trust him. Mistrust is an enemy of God. And I'm going to share with you why it's caused. Mistrust is an enemy of God, and it's caused by disorder. Everyone say disorder. In Psalm 50, would you go to verse 16? Enemies of God. We've been talking about and doing a series of enemies of God, and we're going to be closing with that tonight. And disorder is an enemy of God. Anyone who is in disorder is an enemy of God. Are you listening to me? Anybody that is in disorder is an enemy of God. God is the order God. He's a divine order. Anything or anyone that is out of order is an enemy of God. Did you ever go in somebody's house? I'm sure you all did. I mean, you know, you go into somebody's house, they're supposed to be a believer, and there's, Casper the ghost hanging on the wall, and there's, you know, beer bottles all over the place, and there's, you know, there's just things. You know that that house is not in order to, you know, the kids are running around with the pants on the top and the shirts on the bottom. You know, whatever. whatever. You know, you can go into a house and you can sense that things are not in order. Well, let me tell you, if the house is out of order, they're out of order. I mean, do you understand? Because the way it is in the physical is a representation of what's really true in the spiritual. If a house is out of order, they're out of order. Something's not right. You know, even certain things in people's work ethics and certain things that, man, if you see that you could be working with someone and you know that what they're doing is out of order, they're placing things out of order. You know? If it's out of order, they're out of order. If their priorities are out of order, they're out of order, aren't they? See, these are fruits that we look at because one of the things that we don't want to do is be out of order, because if we're out of order, God can't trust you. If you're in disorder, God can't trust you. In Psalm 50 and verse 16, is everybody there? Let's start, please. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes? Are the wicked out of order? Amen. What right do you have to declare my statutes? Man, I've had people get so upset with me. I mean, there's been people that I've known for years and so forth, and they've been, I mean, I'm telling you, they got really upset with me one time. One time. I mean, I just laid it out. And one of the things is people holding back money from God. That's out of order. That is totally out of order. If people hold back money from God that's due to Him in tithes and offerings or whatever, they're spiritually out of order. There's something not right. And there was this couple one time that was, they were associated with us, and I had asked Wade just to see what's what, because they keep calling for certain things, this, that, and whatever, and they want us to help them with this and help them with that. And I said, hey, Wade. And he looked. I said, have they tithed at all to the ministry? Man, they didn't give any money whatsoever in 9 or 10 months or whatever it was. I thought, man, you know, I mean, I don't mind helping and whatever, but, you know, when you're working, and there's things, and I know that you're paying your rent, and I know that you're paying this, and I know that you're paying that, but you're not giving God any money, something's not right. And then I come to find out that they were doing some ministry on, I guess it was internet, television, or whatever. I told them they had no right to do that. I said, you're out of order. That's not what God is calling. How can you go out and declare something when you're not in order yourself? What right do you have to declare the truths of the Lord when you're out of order yourself? Does everybody understand? And this is what he's talking about. He calls them wicked that are out of order. I haven't seen those people since I said that, so. But, you know, I call what's what. Yeah, you need to repent and get things in order. Hadn't heard from him since. Too bad. Don't fellowship with disorder people. Okay, verse 16. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenants? Where? In your mouth. What right? Seeing you hate what? Instruction. Oh, they don't like to be corrected. They just like to tell you all things about Jesus, but they're so out of order, they're ridiculous. Seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you. Now check that out. I mean, these, and this is where that deception of the enemy comes, thinking, well, ain't nothing happened, so I guess I'm okay. No. You're just not in the right place. Because, you're not, you know, when people are out of order, they're not okay. But I will what? Rebuke you and set them what? In order before your eyes. In other words, he's going to set things in order with or without you. In other words, sometimes people are caused to do certain things because they're out of order. Things get exposed. Things get exposed, and all of a sudden, whoa. It's actually a whoops, you know. So when these things get exposed, God says, all right, I'm going to set them in order. And by setting them in order, then you can proclaim the truth. But what right does a believer have to declare the truth in the covenant of the Lord out of their mouth when they're out of order? I'm telling you, it'll bring a self-imposed curse. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Things that are out of order in an individual's life, God can't trust. And if he can't trust you, you're his enemy. He still loves you. You're still his child. Divine order produces divine nature. Everybody say divine order produces the divine nature, which produces divine favor. See, if you're not in order, the character of Christ won't be expressed. And if that's not being expressed, you're not going to get favor from God. No matter what you do, no matter how you fight, I don't care if you pray all day long. And until you get in divine order, God will wait, or he'll cause or expose your divine order to come into place. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because anybody that's in disorder is an enemy of God. Go to 2 Pete chapter 1. So divine order produces divine nature, which produces what? Divine favor. How many of y'all want favor? You know how it starts? Divine order. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter, where did I say chapter 1? 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Would you read it with me? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his what? Divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life. Now, why would he do that? So we can walk in what? Divine order. And godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. So these promises will establish you to walk in divine order. Has everybody got it? That through these you may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. To self-control, perseverance, and perseverance godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither what? Barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, boneheaded, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never be, you'll never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ooh. Precious promises of God, which is going to produce that divine order for me and you so that we can partake of the divine nature for a godly living. And as the divine nature is established by divine order, we lack nothing. Because what does it produce? Favor. It produces what? Favor. See, you'll never lack. You'll never lack. You'll never lack. And you won't be in fear of lacking either. You know that God's going to produce it. Why? Because you know that you're in order. If you're out of order, you know what? You know when you're out of order, man. You know it. You know, things just aren't lining up right. Some of them, you're missing God. You're doing this. There's fear that comes in. There's anxiousness. You know that things ain't just right. Because when things are right and you're in divine order, there's a flow. And there's a flow of peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. There's a flow that you don't have to worry about nothing. You might not know what you need to know yet, but you know it's coming. Amen? And you're able to endure till it comes. You don't go try to dig for it at that time because you haven't been given the shovel yet. See, God always provides, then he sends. See, too many people are trying to get when he's not provided. It's because they're out of divine order. Then they get themselves in debt. They get themselves in trouble. They move out of God's timing. Hello? Let's go a little further. Go to Matthew 12. What's one of the enemies of God? Disorder. We have a teaching called, Where Are You At? Where are you at? You know, sometimes somebody needs to just tell you, where are you at, man? What are you doing? In other words, the reason why that's being said is so that an individual can get in divine order or begin to look. Well, where am I at? In Matthew 12 and verse 43. 12:43. Is everybody there? When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it what? Empty, swept, and put in order. Now, this demon left this individual's house, got cleaned out. That demon left, right? Now he comes back and he sees it's been put in order. He can't access it because it's in order. See, you know what he does? Let me go get some more. So it says here, he says, then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked, more powerful than himself. And they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first, so shall it also be to this wicked generation. Now, why did they get access? Because those other seven spirits got that individual to cooperate and got him out of order. Does everybody understand that? See, if the devil can get you out of order, he gets access to you. And when you're out of order, you become an enemy of God. Again, becoming an enemy of God does not disqualify you as your child, as his child, nor that he loves you. He just can't trust you. It's the mistrust that makes us an enemy of God. So disorder is an enemy of God. And if you're aligned or agreeing with disorder in your life, you become an enemy of God. So everybody got it? Go to Job 1. Job, the employment section. You need a job? Go to Job. In chapter 1, in verse 8. Now the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth? A what? Blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. There's divine order. Does everybody see it? And Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a what? Hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. Job was one of the wealthiest men in the world at this period of time. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, go ahead. Behold, all that he has is yours in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. And now there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And the messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them, when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep, and the servants consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels, and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell down to the ground, and what? He worshipped. He what? He worshipped. Look at all the news that just came before Job. He worshipped. All of this stuff happened to him, but he worshipped. You see, Job knew order. He knew how to stay in order because he knew his God. He knew that no matter what was going on, he knew that as long as he stayed in order. See, because Job used to sacrifice every day for his household, his children, and everything. The first thing that Satan took away was the animals for sacrifice. So the hedge of protection had to go. Are you listening? But only God could do that. God allowed that. See, because divine order also brings you divine protection. But there's something about Job that he knew. He knew about his God. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Now let's see, where are we? Oh, yeah. And he worshipped him. In verse 21, what does he say? Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with the wrong. In other words, he didn't say, Lord, I'm not blaming you for it. He was blameless, upright, and he feared God. In other words, he departed from evil. He knew how to maintain divine order. He didn't let go of the promises of God and the character of Christ. Are you listening? He knew God. He knew that if he stayed in order, God was always fulfilling the promises, didn't he? So he knew that God was faithful no matter what. So whatever was going on, he knew that God was doing something. He knew the hand of God was in it. So he stayed upright, blameless, and didn't curse God. Are you listening? Job knew the Lord in the divine order, and only God could allow something to happen that it would interrupt this divine order. He didn't lean on his own understanding, but he trusted God, and he earned favor, and the Lord blessed him even more. Are you listening? Because he knew how to maintain order. And by maintaining that order, God was always blessing him. So he knew that God would not interrupt himself to break up this divine order unless he had a purpose. So he held on to it all the way to the end. Because he knew his God. He knew his creator. He knew his master. Even his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? But he said, no, I know my Lord, and I will worship him. He gave it, and he can take it away. I mean, that is so powerful. He gave it, and he can take it away, and God blessed his socks off. You know, the Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. And one of the things that begin to happen is when you begin to lose, when you begin to fall out of order, the enemy looks for that, because if he can get you out of order, he can begin to promote his image again. And then individuals begin to build a house in their own strength, intellect, fear. You know, houses are built in fear. And that's why they crumble. If he can get you to do that and get out of divine order, then we labor in vain. Let's go to Psalm 127 and read that. Psalm 127. In verse 1, just one verse. It says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city. Who guards the city? The Lord. The watchman stays awake in vain. In other words, they're not in order, so they're doing it in their strength. Are you listening? And they're looking how they need to protect or build instead of trusting in God. Because if you can't trust God, you become his enemy. If you're out of order, you become his enemy. Has everybody got it? Matthew 16. Now I want to share something with you important. There is an order with God. And it's real simple. It's God. Then it's God. And then it's God. Well, what about my family? I said, it's God, then it's God. Then your family. Anything that pertains to God, it's God. See, if you're in divine order, if you're in the order, your family will be taken care of. It's God. Always the Lord first. You know, I hear all of this stuff about, well, it's God, it's your family, then it's ministry. Well, whose ministry is it? Right. See, let me share with you what's involved with God. First of all, it's the Lord's ministry, not ours. It's the Lord that provides the job, not we do. Does everybody understand? See, these are all things that are pertaining to God. It's your relationship with him. It's what he's providing you. It's you and him. The will of God is you and God, not you and your wife, not you and your children, not you and nobody else. It's you and God. It's you and God. It's you and the Lord. That's the will of God. See, when people lose focus and begin to work in this way to try to bring to God, it's out of order. See, it must be brought this way and then brought. It's not brought, oh, Lord, here's. No, it's brought this way. It's you and God. It's you and God. It's you and God. It's you and God. You and God in the job. You and God. It's you and God. You and God in the ministry. You and God. You and God. Has everybody got it? And as it's you and God, as you're doing what he's asking you to do, he's going to provide for everything else. It's not you and God. Your family, and then ministry. That's ridiculous, and I keep hearing that over and over and over. That's not how it works. It's you and God, you and God, you and God. It's God's ministry, not yours. Does everybody get it? It's the Lord that brings the job, not you. It's amazing in how people will move. Hello? And they'll move for money instead of what God says. You know? Everybody has a ministry. Your business is your ministry. Everybody has it. Wherever you go, you're an ambassador of the kingdom of God. You're a servant to the anointing. And you are a steward of the mysteries of God. Wherever you go, you are in full-time ministry. You don't need to have a pulpit. You don't need to have a label. You're in full-time ministry. Does everybody get it? Remember, we're fighting for the life of Christ, right? Not for our life. So there must be an order always kept. It's you and God. Then it's you and God. Then it's you and God. That's divine order. Does everybody got it? But what about this and what about that? Man, you won't go, what about? That's butt ministry. If you're maintaining divine order with your heavenly Father, everything will fall into place. So everybody got it? Everything. See, disorder is an enemy to God. Always is and always will be. Anything that's mistrust is an enemy of God. Hello? Good. Let's go a little further. Matthew 16. In verse 21, y'all there? Let's read it together. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of what?" I love this. So where did Peter focus to? Think about it. He began to focus on protecting God. Well, that pulled him right out of order. Like, he's going to protect God? Come on, he just admitted a little while ago that he was the Christ, the anointed one. Now he's going to protect the anointing? Hello? He's going to protect the anointed one? No, he's not. And the Lord says to him, come on, get out. Come on, Pete, you're out of order. You're out of order. And what did he call him? Satan. Why? Because Satan takes place in anything that's out of order. Then Jesus said to his disciples, here we go. Now he's saying, okay, let's get back in order. If anyone desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall what? Shall find it. So God first, God first, God first. No matter what it is, it's God first. But honey, I've made arrangements for dinner. We've got to go do this. What did God say? Are you listening? If you're a servant of the Lord, God is always first. Always, no matter what. You maintain that order with him, he'll take care of everything else. Now listen. Look at Mary. Didn't she maintain order? And the Lord visit Joseph, got him in order, didn't he? Hello? He took care of it all. God first. He tells us here, here's the order. Okay, look at, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. The Spirit will always lead you in order. Without order comes confusion. Come on. Without order comes what? Confusion. Ooh. Go to James 3. James chapter 3. And verse 13. Is everybody there? Y'all okay? Hey, we're getting to another realm here now. There's a move of the Spirit that we've got to jump. We've got to cooperate with the Spirit. That's what's happening. In verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, what else exists? Confusion and every evil thing are there. Wow. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, loving, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So we see when things are out of order, where there's disorder, confusion will always follow. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. You know, when an individual is out of order, there's that carnal wisdom that begins to take prominence. And it can also open an individual to familiar spirits. And what happens is, by being out of order, there becomes a self-seeking because you can't deny yourself. So when things are out of order, there's that self-seeking. And it just said that self-seeking brings what? Confusion, doesn't it? Did you ever, I'm telling you, you can talk to somebody, you know, you can talk to them one week, and the next week you talk to them, you know they're out of order because they look at you, you'll say something and go, huh? I mean, man, you're talking right to them. There's counsel, correction, and direction. You'd be talking right to them, they'll be looking at you going, yeah. I mean, they're hearing, but they ain't listening. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. 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 Yeah, you're right. Man, you know they're out of order. Because they're so confused. They can't even, they don't, and they're just going to agree. Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's all they're trying to do is get out of the presence of God. They're trying to run from you. They can't wait to get away because of the demons now that are in them, and those are familiar spirits. Disorder will cause confusion and bring familiar spirits. 1 Corinthians 14:31. 1 Corinthians 14:31. For you can all prophesy. Everybody say, I can prophesy. And because I prophesy, it doesn't make me a prophet. Good. No granolaism. For you can all prophesy one by one that all may what? Learn. Because if you don't learn, you what? You burn. And all may be what? Encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So God is not the author of confusion, is he? So who's the author of confusion? Satan. And he starts it off by disorder. Then he brings confusion. Go to verse 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is what? Ignorant. Let him be ignorant. If anyone is what? Ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done what? Decently and what? In order. Now, let me share with you. Disorder will bring forth confusion. Confusion will birth ignorance. Is everybody with me? Confusion will birth ignorance. Now you may think, well, no, it'd have to be ignorance first. No, you go to the garden and look what happened. How did it start? Disorder. Then it brought what? Confusion. Then it brought what? Ignorance. See, so ignorance is handed down. Is everybody okay? Ignorance is what? Handed down. Ooh, good. Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Disorder brings upon confusion. Confusion will birth ignorance. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanliness and greediness. But you have not so learned what? Christ. In other words, you've not learned the anointing. The image of Christ that you're supposed to be fighting for is slipping away. If indeed you had heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, disorder, confusion, and ignorance, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And how does this start? Disorder, confusion, and then ignorance, and that's passed down. Has everybody got it? It will run right into a cycle. 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2, and verse 10. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his what? Devices. Let me tell you, this ignorance will produce an area where you don't understand the strategies of Satan. And he'll deceive you every time. Ignorance. And that's all you need to do is go in somebody's house and you can find out whether they're in order or not. Somebody got it? Because what is in that house is in this house. If there's disorder or produce confusion, confusion will birth ignorance. That ignorance will be passed down where an individual will be taken and deceived and will not understand the strategies of Satan. Disorder is an enemy of God. Confusion is an enemy of God. And ignorance is an enemy of God. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And then one more scripture. God willing. You know, you can actually see this producing more and more in the world. You know that? It's getting, I mean, come on, think of, look at all the houses right now that are out of order. And it's, and you see the fruit that it's birthing is ignorance, isn't it? It's even happening in the body of Christ. And it's being passed down. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in what? Unbelief. I did it what? Ignorantly in unbelief. So this ignorance also is going to bestow an area where a person will be in unbelief. There'll be no faith. There'll be unbelief in this area. Why? Because if a person doesn't know the truth, they're deceived. So this ignorance will produce unbelief. That's why you can talk to some people who've been in church for 50 years and they've never seen the move of God. That's all they've gone is gone to church, they've heard the word, and they've left. And when you try to tell them about God healing, they say, he don't heal. They'll give you the look like, huh? He don't heal. What do you mean he doesn't heal? Why? Because that ignorance has now produced unbelief. Has everybody got this? I'm telling you, look at what's going on in the world right now. There is more ignorance in the world than ever. And the Bible says knowledge will increase. Well, it's going to increase to those who are in order. But it's going to decrease to the ones who are out of order. The only thing that's going to be produced is ignorance and unbelief. Acts 17, and we'll close here. So can God trust somebody that's in order? You know? See, even decisions that are made must be in order. If they're in order, you're earning God's trust. You're either earning God's trust or losing God's trust. Now, there may be areas that God can trust you, but there may be areas he can't trust you. In Acts 17 and verse 29. Let's read this together, please. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. In other words, ignorance is no more an excuse. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Ooh. Of course, when they heard this, they freaked out. Why? Because they were ignorant. Because they were what? Ignorant. And ignorant produces unbelief. Disorder is an enemy of God. Again, there's no more excuse for ignorance. There's disorder, confusion, and ignorance which is passed on. And when that is established, you lose the image of Christ, of who you are. And you begin to grab for the natural. Instead of letting go of the natural and grabbing of the Spirit. And grabbing of the promises of God. Disorder is an enemy of God. If you find yourself in disorder, get in order. You repent and you step back and you say, Lord, get me in order. My priorities are not correct here. Show me. Something's not right. You know. See, you know. The Holy Spirit's already letting you know. He already tells, hey, listen. He knows all things. Nothing is hidden from him. He's there to help us. He's there to correct us. He's there to guide us. Don't reject the Holy Ghost. Don't reject him. See, because God rejects the pride, but gives grace to the humble. So we want to maintain an attitude of humbleness and gratefulness. If we're out of line somewhere, step back and repent. Lord, get me in line. Get me in order here. And whatever it is, forgive me for putting other things before you. Remember, divine order is God. God and God. Everything else will fall into place. Is everybody okay? Disorder is anything that replaces God. Anything of mistrust in God is disorder. It becomes an enemy of God. No more enemies of God. We want to constantly expose the enemies of God. It will cause us to become enemies of God. The Bible says that he who becomes a friend of the world becomes a what? Enemy of God. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. And Lord, we just take this opportunity and we repent. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord, of being out of order in any way. Of being more concerned with the affairs of men instead of the affairs of you. Just like you rebuked Peter, Lord. Lord, we accept any rebuke that we have coming to us tonight. And we ask, Father, for your strength and for your wisdom and understanding that we may get things in divine order to receive your presence, your blessing, and your love, that we may be pleasing to you in every area. Now, Lord, I pray a blessing over each and every one here, Lord. And as you deal with each and every one, let that seed grow and bear fruit for your glory. We rebuke the devourer that would try and steal it. And we ask for a hedge of protection in Jesus' mighty name. Now, Lord, one more prayer. We want to lift you, Israel, Jerusalem, and your Jewish people. We ask for a continued hedge of protection around her. That you destroy her enemies and bring confusion in their camps. And that the name above all names, Jesus, will be exalted in Israel. And that salvation will come to Israel. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed.